Jesus has several ways of teaching. In the ancient world, it was very common, not just among rabbis, but the Greeks would also do this. In fact, you often see this in paintings and things, is they would have a, the way they discourse is they'd walk slowly, and people would walk along with them as they talked. It was a method of teaching, and the people, the disciples, going along with Jesus were called followers. This is where we get the idea of a follower. They were literally following along as Jesus is moving through the countryside, and he's teaching as he walks along. It was a regular method of teaching. Today, our Lord is sitting down, makes a point of saying this. He also does this at the Sermon on the Mount. This is when, now he's acting, if you will, in the person of a rabbi who sits and expounds and talks with authority. He's giving something very important, so he sits down by the sea. And by this time, huge crowds have gathered to listen to him, so many that he gets probably one of the disciples' boats and pulls out just a short way from the shore. This is very important. Now, if you go to the Holy Land, one thing you notice right away is that Jesus' examples are taken from the area right around where he is. He doesn't have to go to the four corners of the world to get stories for his parables. The city on the hill, for example, would be Tiberias, which was right across the sea, and you can see it from Capernaum. And the mustard seeds, the plants are everywhere in the Holy Land. And probably Jesus is on the boat, and there on the plain, just to the north of Capernaum, it opens up into a large area where there was farming. The area was very inhabited at the time of Christ. Now it's not so inhabited. But Christ probably could see in the distance somebody was scattering seeds. And he said, you know, the kingdom of God is like this sower. You've all seen a sower going out to sow seeds. They did it much differently than we do here in the Willamette Valley. And unless we understand that, we may not understand fully what Christ is trying to tell us. This guy that's sowing this seed, obviously, he isn't paying much attention. He's sowing the seed in the pathway. He's sowing it into the thorn bushes. He's sowing it into the rocks. He's just going along. He obviously is not the owner. He's obviously working. He's on an hourly wage. He doesn't care. You know, and nobody would be that prolific with valuable seeds. But God would be. God is willing to throw seeds everywhere, even in places where you don't think that anything could possibly grow. You know, whether it's rocks or hard hearts, he's still out there throwing those seeds out, and maybe one of them will germinate. God is so generous with and every seed has the potential to make us wealthy. If we recognize our opportunity. The problem is, these people, he says, these people's hearts are gross. They don't want to see. It's not that God has withheld it from them. They don't want to see. They don't want to hear. They don't want to be converted. And frankly, most of us don't want to change very much. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, think about it for a moment. If you try to do something different, I'm trying to give up coffee right now. You know, I'm giving up coffee and everyone else is suffering. You know, but it's not easy to change a habit. And especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a religious interest. They didn't want to hear him. All the defenses were up. You might as well have been throwing the seed right on hard ground. Nothing's going to grow in that pathway. So, in the Holy Land then, farms were laid out in long rows. And in between them, you'd find a pathway, like a right-of-way. And this system is still used in some places today. And the right-of-way would be a place where anybody could walk. It wouldn't be considered private property. Just on both sides would be private. But even there, the law stated that a farmer was not to completely glean everything. Something was to be left for the traveler and the poor who would be passing by. There weren't any 7-Elevens to stop and eat at. They would eat a little something as they went along, and this was considered to be charity. It was part of your tithe, if you will. So this is what people would do, and they used this as a pathway. Nothing that you plant there would grow. In the same way, if I've got a heart that's hard and I'm not open to the Holy Spirit, then God is not going to force his way in. It's going to bounce right off like water off a duck's back. Nothing's going to change. And this is the way a lot of the people there were. They were listening to Christ, but nothing was getting in. It's the way it is. Not every initiative of God's bears fruit in our lives. Would that it did. You know, some of us are better at it than others at hearing God, but all of us have a hard heart in some area of our lives. And God is always working on that to change that attitude. You know, it can be hard for us to see the area that we're blocking God. The seed that fell on rocky ground, this always reminds me when this gospel comes up. I always think of New England. I spent a summer there in near Dartmouth, New Hampshire, and the farms around there are really filled with a lot of rocks. If any of you are from New England, I don't know how they have to pull the rocks out periodically because they keep rising to the surface. Somebody have to explain to me why rocks rise, but they do, and that's why you have all these beautiful homes made of stone facing and stone fences, and they have to do something with all these stones, or else the ground is not the best ground like the Willamette Valley where we've got acres and acres of topsoil. But this is not what Christ is talking about. The area around the Holy Land where Jesus is speaking here is got many of the areas had a very thin layer of topsoil, and underneath was limestone, and nothing could get through that, so it was impermeable. Like some areas here have clay underneath the soil. You have to get below that. And if something's planted there, you put the wrong crop there, it's not going to get deep roots. They can't get through. So in the spring, that in that climate, the Mediterranean climate, it will rain very heavily, and everything will grow very quickly and turn green. It has to grow and flower very quickly while the rain comes, and then it dries out. And any plant that hasn't had those deep roots is going to wither and die because it couldn't get deep. In the same way, Christ tells us that if you don't put in deep roots, if you base your relationship with me on emotions and feelings, I'm going to pray when it feels good, I'm going to come to church when it feels good, I'm going to be kind to others when I feel good, only if I base my marriage only on feelings, what's going to happen? What happens when the feelings go away? That's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to become mature. It's an opportunity for those roots to go deeper. So God will then periodically withdraw the water a little bit to force us to go deeper. I made a very, very bad error when I first got here. The rectory had no plants around it at all. Some of you have been here for a while know it was like a moonscape. There was nothing there. So I got busy and put too many plants in, you know, and pull half of them out afterward. But I was watering too much, and I was told, well, if you water like that, the roots will never go deep. You have to stop watering and let it also dry out during the summer a little bit. Let it, so those roots will keep seeking the deeper water. And this is what God, periodically we go through these dry spells. This is God's way of helping us grow. We can't live on emotions. This is not real faith. Real faith is when it doesn't always feel good, when we're not always getting something out of it, when we're not getting a bribe from God, we're there because we love Him. So, and then also, we have this third place, some of this seed that this guy's tossing around so recklessly. God is so reckless with His love, He gives it everywhere. It's going into the weeds. I think that refers to the area between people's property would be an area where nobody farmed. A little row of hedge row or weeds would grow there. And if you threw something in there, it might grow. Or perhaps it's land that needs to be weeded. The farmer would come back afterward and turn the soil over. But if he didn't pull the weeds out, they're going to come back, aren't they? And they're going to come back faster than the thing we wanted to plant. That's the definition of a weed. It grows twice as fast as the thing we want to grow. So the Lord, here He is extremely specific in what He's talking about here. He doesn't leave it up to us to discern and figure it out. He tells us that the seed sown among those thorns, they hear the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of money chokes it out. So this is 2,000 years ago, might as well be yesterday. We have worldly cares, We worry about our possessions, our money. We have, in our case, in the modern era, we have too many gadgets, maybe. We have too much going on. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, possessions, money, gadgets. But if they take the place of God, if they're crowding out my prayer life, my spiritual life, and my family life, my life's out of balance. I'm growing a big crop of weeds. A lot of people have they think they have a very beautiful lawn, but there's no fruit on it. It's all weeds. And in the end, it leaves us with nothing. And to save us from a fate like that, God, in his mercy, gives us all these instructions that we might know the difference between what is good and what is evil, between the weeds that so many cultivate and call it good, and the wheat of God. That's next week's gospel. It's the weeds and the wheat. Do we know the difference? And then that some of that lucky soil gets thrown onto the good ground. Some of you may remember a long time ago I told a story about how I sent away for 12 trees at the Arbor Society. They came as little twigs, remember? And I planted all 12 of them. They're little sticks like this. Only one of them is still living. It was the lucky winner. It's a white dogwood, and my favorite kind of tree, turned out. But the other 11 did not make it. And I hope that the odds with God in my life are a little better than that, 1 in 12. But thank God something bore fruit of that initiative. You know, our Lord wants us, he said, and even among the seeds that grow, some grow 30, some grow 60, some grow 100. What's the difference? Am I cultivating my plot of land? Do I allow the Holy Spirit to water it? Do I keep it weeded from encroaching cares and pursuits of vanity, of money and things that don't matter in the end? Am I hard of heart so that the seed can't even get in? Am I full of enthusiasm when times are good, and do I go running away when things get tough? These are the things God warns us. If we can watch out for those things, the field within me will begin to bear more and more fruit. Even Jesus, I take a lot of encouragement, you know, when I preach and teach. Even Jesus said only 25% of the people listening were actually understood what he was talking about, so it makes me feel better, you know. But God keeps trying. As long as we live, he's always scattering seed everywhere. So we pray that we will bear good fruit and that we'll recognize the Holy Spirit that helps to keep everything growing.